You know what the boys found this week?
What's that?
On Disney Plus, there's the Star Wars Legacy or whatever.
Oh, gosh. Those awful things. Oh, my God. I watched one of them, and I was like, what is this? What is this?
Dude, they love, like, the old Ewoks and all that stuff.
They love that? They love the Ewoks?
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Happy Friday, Ted. It is episode 156 of the Trailer Junkies podcast. Last week was 155, and next week is 157. How the heck are you?
I am good, Jimmy. Thank you for the counting instructions at the beginning of the pod here.
Well, I got to help you out sometimes.
It has been a little weird with the kids' spring break in here, so
yeah.
Thank you, yes.
Yeah, so I see you're Mr. Orange tonight with your shirt there.
Yeah, I have a little button-down t-shirt, so I like that, you know.
Yeah, you know, looking kind of sophisticated.
Yeah, you know, and it's so funny because I wear this shirt now, you know, I don't know when we're going back into the office, but this shirt has some holes in it. It has like a moth got to it or something in the back, but it's on my back. So like, I can wear this on a Zoom. I can wear this when I work from home.
There
but
you go.
Once I go back to the office, I can't wear this shirt anymore. You know?
It's like yeah, you have like the bleach stain around the waist.
Right, exactly.
So do you guys think you're going to be, I mean, I'm sure at some point you're going to be in the office, but do you think it's going to be full time? Do you think it's going to be like...
It's got to be some kind of hybrid.
33%, 33%, you know, different teams will go in, be like cohorted, you know, something like that. Or what do you think? Or is it just going to be like a free for all, just bam, go?
So, of course, as always, I do not speak for anyone at Disney HR or anything like that. But my guess is that it's going to be partial return.
For what do you think? The first year, 2 years? I mean, it's got to go back to normal at some point. Like,
it's got to go back to normal at some point.
Our memories are going to fail us, and we're going to be like, "What pandemic?"
Exactly. And to me, that's the thing. Audrey was talking about going back to school in the fall, and I said, "You know, I think going back to school in the fall." Oh, you found it!
I found it.
Right there. It was hiding right there.
right above the Surgeon General government warning. Okay.
Which you don't read anyway.
Right. That's why I didn't see it. I didn't read it. We'll get to that in a second.
But yeah, I don't know. I think we're going to go back, and I think we're going to have a bit of a relapse. I think we're going to have another uptick in the winter. And it's just a question of like how much
like the winter we just came out of. You're talking next winter.
I'm talking about next winter.
Okay.
I'm talking about the, you know, everybody's talking about these vaccines only lasting for 6 months.
Oh, God.
You know, so like, are people going to be in line for the boosters? You know, like, I'm in line for the booster. Sign me up. You know, give it to me at CVS. I don't care.
Give it to me right now.
Yeah, I'll take it whenever you have it.
I'm not even done with the, I mean, I'm done with the shot, but like supposedly.
Next week.
It's like 2 weeks after,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Next week.
All right. So then the week after, let's just get the booster. Let's get it out of the way.
That's right.
All right. So speaking of booster, I need a booster, man. Let's get this beer.
Booster.
Yeah. So what we were talking about with the Surgeon General warning and everything. So before me and Ted were in the green room, we were trying to figure out the ABV of my beer. So Ted looks it up on the internet.
The lazy man's way out.
The lazy man's way. And I could not find it anywhere in the can. I mean, they give me the recipe, the IBUs, the final gravity, the SRM, the whole nine. I couldn't figure out where the heck the ABV was. And then while we're talking, I just happened to see it above the Surgeon General. And what I'm drinking tonight is a lowballer at 5.8%, but it's Modern Times Black House Coffee Roasty Stout. So I'm looking for
Modern Times, a classic, a San Diego special. A great solid beer company across the board. Everybody loves the beer.
Oh yeah.
What is
great.
That? They have like eight. How many malts do they have there? They have like, I'm looking it up online and it says like 2-row kiln coffee malt, oats, pale chocolate malt, black malt, roasted barley, biscuit and crystal 60. is that some kind of crystal meth that they put in there too, or something?
If I'm like super awake, it's either the coffee or the meth. I'm not sure, but no, the crystal 60, the number after that is like the roast that they do. So like how like there might be like a 20, a 40, a 60, a 80, whatever. And that's just like how roasted the roast of the grain is.
Say roast one more time. Roasty roaster.
Yeah, we'll see how roasted I am after. I mean, this is a pint, but the ABV is low, so I probably won't be roasted. Yeah, what do you have tonight?
All right, well, tonight I'm finishing off because I had a couple beers with Frank.
Yeah, I had a couple beers with Clarissa. And she gave blood today, so she's like, I shouldn't have any more.
So today I have a Lucky Luke, which is a brand that Valley Beverage has turned me on to.
Lucky Luke. Is it L-U-C or L-U-K-E?
L-U-K-E.
Okay.
Lucky Luke, the normal spelling. And it's
Well, it depends on who you're asking.
Oh, come on. And it's from Mono County, California, USA.
Mono County.
Mono, not mono. Mono?
No, it's Mono.
All right. Where is that? Is that central? Is that NorCal?
It's just north of Mammoth.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, just north of Mammoth. So up 395.
Okay, so that's the brand, and I didn't even tell you what it is. It's Explore the Barrel series, and it's called Dead Man Creek.
Dead Man Creek.
Dead Man Creek, singular.
And where's it? I know you said Mono County, but is there a town, or where's it out of?
It doesn't even say that, but this, you know, this Lucky Luke has not done me wrong. They have, Palmdale. There you go.
Oh, okay. Palmdale. So
Palmdale.
Palmdale, that's LA County.
Yeah, I think this is the creek in Mono? Shit, I'm going to say
Mono County.
Mono County in California's beautiful hiking, fishing location is a very mysterious history. Oh, so the Dead Man Creek is Mono County, but
the
Lucky Luke Brewing is Palmdale.
For sure. And what's and that's a stout, you said?
It's an Imperial Stout aged in bourbon barrels.
Oh, nice. What's the ABV on that?
ABV is an even 10.
Oh, wonderful. I bet yours is like amazing. Mine's really good, though. It almost tastes like an iced coffee. It's bitter like a black coffee. Like if I were to leave my coffee out and then it was like really kind of just strong and bitter. And then I decided to throw ice cubes in it to water it down just a little bit as far as flavor. I mean, that's the flavor I get from it. So super coffiness.
This one has a coffee. It has a little coffee to it, too. It has a chocolate vanilla mix, you know. Always like a milkshake with these Imperial Stouts.
Oh, sometimes they are like milkshakes.
It's a little bit of a alcohol nip to it.
Okay.
So you get a little bourbon taste, a little barrel taste in there for you. But you want some of that, you know.
So it's like a chocolate milk with a shot of Jack.
There you go.
Yeah, some of my favorites. I'll tell you, though, when I drink like a stout that tastes like a chocolate milk, sometimes those things are just dangerous. You could just, they're way too smooth. They're way too good. And then they're like 12, 14%. And you just get like belaminated. So how was your week this week?
Oh, my week. I was just trying to think when we were, you know, gearing up. And I was like, what did I do this week? I did, you know, my work. Oh, I got new sneakers. I got new running shoes.
Oh, he's sneaking around on us.
I got my new running shoes yesterday. So this morning I get up for my morning run. And because I ordered the shoes over the last weekend, I was like, I'm not running until the new shoes come, whatever. So I gave myself a couple days off.
And you got the slowest shipping possible to put it off.
Well, it wasn't prime, let's put it that way. Yeah. And then it finally came on Thursday. So Friday morning, I put them on and I was like, oh, these feel so good. You know, like a nice firm, like they hold my foot in, like it was crazy. And I woke Ann up and I was like, Ann, I think I'm going to run to Ralph's. I'm going to run to the store.
Well, it's what? It's like 3/4 mile, right?
No, it's like 2 miles.
Get out. It's that one way?
Yeah. Well, each way. Each way, it's a little over
a mile there, a mile back.
No, it's a little. I think it's further than that. Oh man, I gotta look it up now.
Okay, well, while you look that up,
tell me about your week.
Yeah, week, not a lot. I've been off all week, you know, spring break and whatnot.
Well, that's nice.
You know, when you own pets, sometimes things happen. And Jake was getting a little sick this week.
Oh no!
Lost a ton of weight. Took him to the vet. You know, a few tests here and there, lo and behold, you know, like an x-ray and whatnot. He has like some, I don't know, it's like his esophagus got scratched or something.
Oh, no.
Possibly something he ate. I mean, he eats pine cones from the backyard or he eats crayons. I pick up colorful.
Yeah.
Rainbow poop in the yard, you know, and stuff. The inputs are matching the outputs when it comes to that, you know. Yeah, so he wasn't eating and losing weight and drooling weird and stuff. So,
oh no,
pretty much we have him on some meds that are like more just kind of coating and soothing the esophagus so it can heal.
Mm-hmm.
And we're pureeing boiled chicken and white rice to give him like the carbs and protein.
Yeah.
And then we're also soaking his kibble so that gets all mushy and soft. And what we're doing is we're soaking the kibble in like the chicken broth stuff, yeah, that we're boiling the chicken in. So, you know, he gets it down and everything. Prognosis looks good. Probably about two. And, you know, we have him on some Pepcid, you know, for the stomach acids and things, yeah, to keep it like kind of.
He's a big boy.
Well, yeah. I mean, at any given time, he's 75-ish pounds.
So you're saying he was down to like 50 pounds?
Oh, maybe not. He was down about 10.
Okay.
12, something like that. But still, I mean,
That's percentage. That's hard.
That's what I was going to say. You know, me and Clarissa were thinking about it. It's like, all right, you know, he loses like 15% body weight. That's like me going from 160 down to like 132 or something.
Jeez, yeah.
You know, or whatever, you know, like, yeah, that's, I mean, as a percentage, that's a lot of weight. So,
right.
And, you know, he was kind of just low energy, not doing much. And I'll tell you though, once you start pureeing it and you get it down to where it's not like irritating his swallowing and then his vomiting and just the stuff that was happening, you know, it's funny to watch like his energy just immediately spring back.
Pick up. Yeah.
And he just turns back into himself. And, you know, he'll be 9 in June. So he's not like terribly old. He still has a good 4 or 5 years in him.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I told Clarissa, I said, you know, we didn't know where this was going. I mean, that was just like, oh my goodness, I don't want him just to like whittle away to nothing. And I told her, I said, if this is the end, I just don't want him to suffer, you know? And like, but you know, we figured it out. At least I'm pretty sure we did. Yeah. I mean, you change his diet in a day and you just start like cramming the calories down him and he's able to keep it down.
Yeah. He's back.
He even looks better. Like it looks like he gained weight a little bit, you know, a couple pounds or something. I mean, his pep is back. He's out in the yard playing, wanting to play fetch, and he's drinking water and he's doing all the stuff. So yeah, I mean, everything seems to be on the up and up. I guess I'll have to give a report next week to follow up to make sure he is okay. But I mean, I think he will be. And it's kind of like where the valve between the stomach and the esophagus.
It's
as if something scratched going through or was stuck for a little while and it like ulcerified.
Okay. Like
there's like an ulcer that's there, you know. You know, it got to the point where it was really irritated, and anytime something would pass through, it would just irritate him to the point where, you know, his stomach acids would flow back through and everything, irritating it even further.
Right.
So when we look at the Pepcid, and then there's some medication that we got that kind of like
helps the inflammation or whatever.
Yeah, it's like a protective thing, so when he eats and stuff, it doesn't bother him, and he can keep his food down and stuff. And so far, it seems to be working. So
awesome.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, it's like sad when you see a vibrant dog, like not so vibrant over the course of like a week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least we hope that you diagnosed it quickly and got it all taken care of. And we'll see. We'll see next week how he is.
Right.
So you were correct. It is a mile each way. But I was like, I'm going to pick up some milk and like 10 pounds of potatoes and some other groceries.
Dude, you need like a rucksack. Just load it up. I'm serious.
Well, no, because so she was like, you know, she was like, all right, you know, and then I came back. I said, wish me luck. And she said, wait a minute. Why do I need to wish you luck?
Wish you luck. It's a block down.
I said, I'm running. I'm running to the store. And she goes, oh, no, you're not right. You can't run to the store. You can't carry all that food back. You know,
sure
you know,
can.
I don't want to get a call, you know, in half an hour that you made it halfway back. I didn't do it. I didn't run to the store.
Ah, dude, it's only a mile.
But I don't want to carry 10 pounds of potatoes and so a gallon what? Of milk and whatever.
You're working out. You got the calves. You know what my biggest concern would be? Those What's LA that? Sidewalks.
Oh, yeah. Especially on Satakoi. Satakoi is the worst.
Oh, ah, that's so like an traffic. Ankle injury waiting to happen. Talk about a foot injury. I mean, ugh. LA sidewalks are like the pits, you know? No, what you need is a rucksack.
Uh-huh.
Just run down there, load that sucker up with like, you know, I don't know, 80 pounds of food.
There you go.
12 pack of beer, you know, the whole thing. If you want to save weight, get cans, not bottles.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, I mean, like I said, you ruck it back. I mean, when I was in the Army, heck, you know, I don't know how much I would carry. They were like 60, 70 pound packs or something, you know, rucks.
We were half our age. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know. I could still do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Get out there, man, like a 70 pound ruck. I'll go out for like 25 miles, 25 clicks. So we have more Marvel coming.
That's right.
Black Widow, July 9th in theaters or on Disney Plus. Enjoy in theaters or on Disney Plus with their Prime Premium thing.
Premium access.
Premium access. There you. And that's like the $30 one, right?
That's the $30 or 30,000 points.
What does that mean? Is that something new?
I don't know, but you've never bought any of these. You didn't buy Raya, you didn't buy the other one, right?
Oh, so every time you buy, you get like 100 points or something.
No, I don't think so. I think they're trying to. I don't know where the points are, but I saw that when I bought the Raya. So I think maybe it's part of some kind of rewards. I don't know if whether it's their vacation club rewards or some other rewards.
Didn't points and rewards go away with like the Subway stamp card every time you got a Subway? Buy 10, get the 11th free or something.
Did they go away or is it just like,
I don't know, is that still a thing?
I think everybody does it. So
that's still a thing.
I think it's interesting. I think let's make everything points and it'll turn into its own Bitcoin, you know. It'll be like how many
can I sell the points,
trading points on the black market of Disney Plus points.
You have 15,000 points. I have 15,000 points. We pool our points and we get together as a fam and watch.
That's right.
There you go. So, okay, the number one export, and I've mentioned this before, of American culture equals explosion movies. And we're back, baby. We're back. Another explosion movie.
Yeah. What do you think? It's got explosions. It's got
stormtrooper outfits.
Amazing action sequences. You know.
What's with the stormtrooper outfit?
Well, I don't know. They're it's the Russian days. It's like,
oh, it's like the winter version of like she's in Siberia.
Something like that, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So she needs like winter camo.
Right.
Yeah. So she's like White Widow.
Well, what do you think about the whole preamble? There's a whole 30 seconds of like old clips at the top of the trailer.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I mean, you know, I where I went with that, what I was thinking was it was supposed to come out sooner because of all the COVID and everything, it was delayed. So they're thinking fans forgot. So we have to recap. God. It's like previously on 24, you know, and it's like as if we forgot. So now they're recapping Black Widow to bring us back to current Widow. And I don't know, it looks fun. I mean, I'm a fan.
I too. I kind of agree with you there. I think that there was also an idea of saying it's all part of the canon. It's all part of canon. So it's like, it's not, don't worry. We're not deviating. We're not, you know, threading off of this. We're going to use this as canon and we're just going to show you kind of the prequel origin story of Black Widow.
And you say that because she is the start of the third phase.
I think it's the fourth phase, right?
Fourth phase. Oh my God.
Is it the fourth or the fifth phase?
I don't even know. There's too many phases. I feel like I'm phased out.
I'm not phased by it.
So whatever, I don't even care how many phases, you just watch them. You watch them in order, right? Like it is is. So you watch it, but what you're saying is because of this new phase about to begin,
uh-huh.
they're trying to say that this phase ties into the previous phases.
Of course, yeah. I mean, it's all.
I mean, is that what you mean when you say it's canon?
It's canon, as in it. Yeah, it's part of the overall story. So, and like you said, it ties into the other phases, but you don't have to tie in a chronological linear fashion.
So what is your opinion with Black Widow, the Falcon, who else? I mean, maybe Iron Man falls in that. But there's like the non-magical or the non-powerful Avengers. And then you have like the magical or powerful Avengers. So, you know, you have Captain Marvel, of course.
Right.
You have the Hulk. He kind of has his powers. Ant-Man has his powers. You know, even Thor, and he's a god, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And then you have just like a woman who's trained in martial arts. No powers. She's just like really good at her craft.
Right.
So, I mean, like, should she have a power?
Well, I think it's important to have the gamut, to run the gamut of all the types of people and the types of superheroes that you have in this space. You know, Hawkeye gets a lot of flack for kind of, you know, just being a normal strength superhero with the bow and arrow, you know?
Well, Hawkeye's another one. Yeah. Like, what does he do? He's Black Widow's equivalent. Like, she's amazing at martial arts and he's good with a bow. Like, he goes bow hunting for bad guys.
So I think it's interesting. Do we just jump into what we're watching with Falcon and Winter Soldier? Because I think it speaks exactly to that. You know, I don't know if are you caught up this week or no?
Yeah, we're caught up.
Okay.
We can jump into that, talk about it, and then come back to Jupiter's Legacy, which is more superhero, by the way.
Yes, of course. Of course.
I don't really have much else to say with Black Widow.
I'm going to see it. My concern is, so are you going to pay the $30 to see it? This will be one of the first ones if you do.
We're not there yet.
Yeah.
So, and what I mean by that is, so we're working our way through the Marvel.
That's right. What are you on? Three? Iron Man 3 or something?
No. We did Captain Marvel this week and we did Iron Man 2 this week. So Thor is next.
Oh, you're doing it in like
chronological timeline
order. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So we started with Captain America.
We can't say Captain America anymore because it's too confusing. You have to say Steve Rogers.
Right. I know. Steve Rogers. So then that would have been Captain Marvel, Iron Man, Iron Man 2. And probably tomorrow night, I guess we're going to do Thor.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
So Winter Soldier, spoiler alert, but if it's Thursday, so we're already on.
Well, let me back up really quick. So before we jump to that, so you asked if I'm going to spend the $30.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That's in July.
Right.
We're in April. We might get to that point. And if that, like, let's just say, like, boys, it's July 9th. We just finished, you know, we just finished Endgame, or is Endgame the last one?
Yeah, Endgame, and then you'll have the Spider-Man, unless you're going to do, you know,
Far
From
Home. We just finished Endgame. Why not watch it tonight? Then I probably will spend the $30. However, if we're like Ant-Man and the Wasp,
right,
then we're going to keep chugging along. And when we get to the end, if it's still there for 30, we might do it. If it's not, then we won't.
Here's my thought on spending.
I think we're going to keep in order no matter what we do.
Here's my thoughts on spending the $30, you know, because it doesn't have a gradient. because it's $30 and then all of a sudden they release it for free, however many months later they decide to release it, you know, 4 months.
Okay.
But it's $30 whether you get it right away or whether you get it the week before it's out, you know. There's a diminishing return to purchasing it. But if you're going to purchase it on the first day it's available and watch it right away, because that is the ultimate value. You know what I mean? So that's my thought behind paying for it.
Every day you wait, it's one day closer to the day it becomes free.
Right. And then one day closer to Anne chipping away and saying, like, maybe we shouldn't, like, you know, pay for it. Maybe we should just wait another week and then it's here.
Don't you have enough to watch an HBO Max? That's what she'll say to you. All right. So let's jump ahead to The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Right. I mean, I think it's very appropriate, or it is pertinent to what you were talking about Black Widow. You know, the super soldier myth and the super soldier, the whole conundrum of the super soldier from the very first Avenger movie, you know.
Well, and the serum and exactly.
The serum was the issue. Like, we had to find Steve Rogers because anyone else would screw this up. And of course, this week we find out that, yes, you know, the new Captain America is not, what is it? He's not a good enough person. Am I using that correctly? Yes. Because Superman is good, right?
Superman's good. And you are well.
So he's not a good enough person. Although I am well. This new Captain America is stricken with grief from his friend being killed by a super soldier. And then he kills himself, a super soldier, with many cameras watching and blood on the shield. Tell me that's not the most iconic image of the bloody shield.
Yeah, right at the end there. I mean, I guess we should have yelled spoiler alert, but
I yelled spoiler alert.
It's a given at this point.
Right.
We give away spoilers. If you don't like it, you'll come listen when you're done.
Spoilers flow like beer in our podcast.
That's right. Yeah, I thought the same thing when you think about the moral compass,
yeah,
of Steve Rogers. And what, I don't even remember, he hasn't been around long enough for his name to sink in.
I know. Bryce knows his name, but
yeah, the current Captain America,
Wilson, right? Wilson something?
Maybe, I don't know. he doesn't seem to have the moral compass, because not only, okay, so he beats the guy to death with his shield, but he also pocketed the super soldier serum.
Well, that's, yeah. Don't you think he already took it? I thought he took it already.
Well, yeah. But what I'm saying, though, is he didn't necessarily say, you know what, I am better than the serum, I don't need to take it. He has this moral dilemma or this conflict within him to where he said, well, that's the last one, I better grab it for myself.
Right.
You know, whether it's selfishly or he wants his glory or he wants to be a hero or whatever it is. Then when he's met with the conflict of his friend, he doesn't rise up above that either. And he takes out the guy. It doesn't even matter. Was that the one who killed his friend or not? He's the judge, jury.
Didn't matter. He was out for vengeance. He didn't care.
Yeah, he's the judge, jury, and executioner all on the same guy, regardless if that's the guy that did it.
John Walker.
That's it. Yeah. So he has like moral conflict.
Yeah. And he's not, you know, Stanley Tucci was very, very clear about finding the exact right person to give this serum to. And, you know, and the other people aren't, the rest of the world was not as discriminate when they gave it to Bucky, you know?
Right.
They gave it to Bucky and they coded him up and they sent him on his way, you know?
Was it cool how he lost his arm?
Yeah, no, it was great. I love it. I love the Damage. I forget their name, but I love the royal guard just kicking ass, and it's like,
I always call them the Wakandinians or whatever.
The Wakanda Royal Force, yeah.
I mean, those women are so bad to the bone with their point your pointy stick somewhere else or whatever.
Oh, and you knew that Walker was just he was out of his element.
Yeah,
and then he's so whiny. What did he say? He said they're not even super soldiers; they're just regular people.
What's gonna happen when I meet a super soldier? I know, man. It's amazing. It's amazing. So
I was a little last week. I was excited to see Wakanda involved in the mix.
You thought it was going to go somewhere else.
No. I did. Well, my thought was like, it's a different kind of excitement than WandaVision. And I think WandaVision had this mystery to it. And I'm like, this isn't a mystery.
No, it's an action flick.
So it's just an action movie, and it's just going to play out over six week schmovie. But it's going to play out in a different way. But it was so funny because we woke up this morning right after my run of the come home and the kids are waking up, and Bryce got on the sofa and he's like, we're going to watch, you know, Falcon and Winter Soldier. I was like, no, I'm going to work. I'm going to go shower and go to work. And then I'll watch it later in the day. It doesn't have the spoiler effect. You know, if I see something in the day, you know, on it, I don't think of it as much as of a spoiler to have to watch it first thing in the morning, you know?
Yeah. I don't think anything in this episode, maybe, but for the shield with blood on it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing maybe that would have been a spoiler in this one. I mean, I think as far as Marvel schmovies goes, I liked WandaVision better.
Okay.
I do like the action component to it. The one dude had the amazing laboratory going back a week.
Right.
In the containers. I mean, that was really cool because, like, you ever see those container houses? Like, people build houses out of containers and stuff?
Yeah.
That was my first thought. I'm like, oh, that's brilliant. You can make a laboratory out of containers, you know?
Yeah, and to me the greatest thing about this is Baron, the Zemo's angle, you know, like kind of the same way we see the reason why Thanos did what he did, you know, because his planet was overpopulated, so he overextended his own grief and pain and then decided to, you know, snap out half of the universe. But in this case, Zemo is out to get rid of super soldiers. He hates super soldiers, you know? Like, he thinks that when you're a super soldier, other than Steve Rogers, you're just basically a dead man. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it was great to hear him talk to Bucky and Falcon and say, like, she's already gone. Like, she's already dead to him when he's trying to kill, you know, the girl super soldier. And I was just like, this is an amazing, this is a nice ideology for this bad guy to have, you know? And when they come across all the little vials, I was like, oh man, he should pick them all up. And Anne is screaming, no, he's going to stomp them. He's going to crush them all. And I was like, no, they're so valuable. It's like what they're going for. You know, but she was right in saying that he was going there to destroy it and to destroy everything about it. And I was like, oh, that's why he killed the doctor. You know what I mean? He has no hesitation in what
he wants. No super soldier legacy or anything.
Yeah. He wants to right the wrongs of what he had done up to this point, you know? And it's so funny that he does it in such a villainous kind of way, but it still has this ethos behind it. It has his own ideology. So I love that.
And it was cute when he said, ah, there's my associate. And it's like the 12-year-old girl or whatever. Yeah, that was really cute.
And then it's like he knows how to get to these to the answers, and Falcon and Bucky are just like going in like ham-handed and like asking all the wrong people. And he's going in with candies to children talking about, you know, the mother, the matriarch, the passed away matriarch. But
yeah,
so amazing. I can't wait. How many more episodes? We have two more episodes, three more episodes.
I think there's two more. Yeah, there's two more.
You know, it's just going to keep coming and coming and coming. It's great. I love the rollout.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right. Jupiter's legacy. It's like Roman gods living in the burbs.
It's like, yeah, it's like a family. You take it out of Mount Olympus, you know?
Yeah. <it's> I don't know. It's like more superheroes. You know?
It's more superheroes. it's super campy.
Oh, it certainly is. Yeah.
So I just don't know how it's going to play. I don't know whether I'm into it. I don't know if I'm interested in it.
What I love, and Clarissa didn't really get the humor or find the humor that I found, but if you watch it at 21 seconds,
okay,
and it ends at about 24 seconds, they show the woman with the silver hair. And then they have the juxtaposition. They shift over to the guy with the silver hair and white beard. And then they shift to the guy with the white beard and the short cropped hair. And it's like this transition from the woman with, like I said, with the long silver hair to the guy with the long silver hair and beard to the guy with the short silver hair and beard. And it's just like this weird transition of these three characters, the way they kind of metamorphosize to each other over this 3 or 4 second scene. And I was like, wow, that's really cool how they did that. And I played it over and over for Clarissa, you know, like a few times. And I'm like, well, what do you think, though? Is this something I should mention? And she's like, I don't get it. I'm like, but watch how they transform all these three characters. Yeah, but why is that important? I'm like, but watch, though. And she's like, I'm watching. It makes no sense to me. I'm like, fine. I'm going to bring it to Ted and we'll see what happens.
I know what you're talking about. I saw it happen and I don't know. I mean, I
don't think there's, I think it's mere coincidence.
Right.
But I just love how it kind of plays out in the trailer.
It does. It plays out. There's definitely a lineage.
Like, I don't think there's any meaning behind that.
No, but there's a lineage. There's a linkage between
them.
Right, right. You know, and there's a relationship.
I think so, yeah.
So I don't know what the relationship is. To me, I guess it's just...
Watch and find out?
It's watch and find out. But it's like, is it taking itself too seriously? You know, like, is it a campy?
Well, at the end, they're beating up like an Iron Man looking guy who has the glowing thing in his chest.
Yeah. I
don't know.
I mean, I get that it's an homage to something else. And I get that Netflix needs a superhero, you know, franchise, something. But
I thought they had one. Didn't they have one?
Well, I mean, they had Marvel, but...
No, Umbrella Academy or something?
Oh, Umbrella Academy's coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's different, and it's kind of superhero. Yeah, they're superheroes. That's done really, really smartly, so I don't know. But I think they just need more. They just need a volume of stuff, so they're just going out there and grabbing all the pieces they can get.
Well, like we always talk about, they collect the data on what people watch... And they build the shows based on that information. And they're like, okay, they like superheroes. They like superheroes with nuclear devices in their chest. They like, you know, whatever it is, they just go on down the line and they're like, all right, let's make that show. And that checks all the boxes and we're going to get the most viewership. You know what I mean?
Right. And as you and I talk about all the time, the bar is really, really low. You know, I don't think many people are giving up their Netflix, you know, for, you know, they'll find something to watch on Netflix kind of thing, you know?
What I find talking with people, you included... Probably you, number one, because I talk to you most about this stuff. But when I talk to friends at work or I talk to others and so on, a lot of people have the same sentiments we have, right? Like, I'm going to dump Hulu, pick up HBO. I'm going to dump HBO and I'm going to go with, like, you know, Showtime and Stars or something. Or I have Amazon Prime and...
Yeah, football season's coming back. I'll do Amazon Prime.
Whatever it is, right? Everybody keeps Netflix because Netflix is like the anchor.
Right.
Right? You can't... You Disney Plus, I mean, people... Well, I think that's a good value just because of price, but...
And for the kids. I mean, if you're an adult without kids, then you have Netflix. And if you're an adult with kids, then you have Netflix and Disney Plus. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure that's the bet.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think, but I think the main thing is, though, people are willing to pick up and drop other services.
Right.
But I don't think people are willing to drop Netflix. And I think they just have too much value because if you think about Disney, for example, Disney's like Star Wars, Marvel, and, well, Disney, Net Geo, I guess. But when you look at like Netflix, they're just so all over the place. that you never know what you're going to get when you go on there. It's kind of like in the old days when you would surf channels, right?
Right.
I don't know what's on. I'm just going to hit up until I find something, you know, 500 times. And you never settle because what if the next channel has something better? You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And I think that's kind of how Netflix plays it.
Yes.
So there's just, they have so much content, but.
And I think there's some gems. I'm not sure if Jupiter Rising?
Jupiter's Legacy.
Jupiter's Legacy. Not sure. So I will probably watch it. You know, I will say that I will watch it. I'm not excited to see it, I don't think. Which is strange.
I would agree with you. I'll probably watch it. I'm not excited about it.
That's something. And then I will say, like, just to continue. So beyond that, I don't know what to say anymore about this. You know,
let's jump into what we're watching.
And I think what we're watching, I'll just say, first off, to keep in theme, we started Thunder Force. Have you seen Thunder Force? You should totally check out Thunder Force.
No, I haven't heard of Thunder Force.
Thunder Force on Netflix.
Is it like superhero?
Melissa McCarthy and Octavia Spencer.
All right.
Play best friends through, you know, elementary school and high school that go estranged of each other, and they become superheroes.
Okay, Thunder Force.
Hijinks ensues. Like,
it's a comedy, you know, it sounds like.
Melissa McCarthy and Octavia Spencer are, you know, an unlikely superhero duo. And Jason Bateman has crab hands, so it's a must watch.
Is this movie or is this a schmovie?
It's a movie, straight up movie.
Straight up
single,
movie, okay.
Single piece of art. So
2-ish hours?
2-ish hours, under 2 hours.
Okay.
You know, a fun romp for a PG-13 crowd.
Maybe we'll watch it this weekend then.
Yeah, well, give it a spin.
Yeah, I mean, I have a few things. Kind of not on the note of movie versus schmovie or whatever, but we started. So like I said, I'll watch it this weekend, but we probably won't because we started This Is a Robbery, The Greatest Art Heist.
Oh, okay, cool. That's out. Okay, great.
It's 4 episodes. We're 1 episode in. We just started
nice.
It today.
Nice.
So far, so good. Pretty cool. I was wondering if this is like art history 102 in college. I know Anne has an art history degree.
We will definitely watch it. I think this is definitely on our to-do list. But
so my request is you guys watch it. You know, we watch it, of course. And then we have Anne with a guest spot to do her review of it.
Okay, cool.
I'd like her input because I know she has an art history degree and she kind of wanted to live and work in this world.
Right.
And yeah, I'm just curious what her opinion is and her thoughts about it. So I think she should have a guest spot next week when you guys watch it.
Awesome. So we will knock it out this week.
Yeah, for sure. And then just a quick one from 2016, Star Trek Beyond.
Okay.
Yeah, you've seen that, I'm assuming.
I have.
Yeah, I know you're a Star Trek fan.
Which one is the Beyond?
It's where, first of all, it's where they have the new cast playing the old characters.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so you know that. And then it's where they kind of go into, they land on the planet and there's like the...
Oh, yeah.
There's like the alien life form that's trying to...
Idris Elba,
yeah.
Had the castaway crew, whatever.
Exactly.
Right. No, we like that one a lot. One of my favorite parts of that is the opening of that movie.
Oh, it's great.
He's like in that trial, you know, with the little aliens that are like overcoming him. Yeah. Right? And he's like trying to get the little thing away from them or whatever it was, you know. It's just like, it's super campy, but it was so well.
Yeah,
played.
Exactly. And they're on that space station and that's like kind of a space station Earth kind of a place.
Right.
Yeah. And then another Idris Elba, Concrete Cowboy.
Oh, you did see that. Okay, I saw that and I was like, eh.
You didn't like it?
Well, I was like, am I in the mood for it? I don't know if I'm in the mood for it.
I got you.
I don't know if it's going to be, it looked a little heavy, you know,
it's heavy.
A little topic heavy. And I was just like,
for sure.
I need some light stuff this week. I need light.
No, I would agree with you. It is heavy. I think we were in the mood for it.
Okay, good.
So, the way you kind of mention it in that regard, I could see how if you're not, there's times when I listen to podcasts and some of the podcasts I listen to are humorous. Some are the Google one I listened to that you mentioned.
Yeah. Oh, right.
That's just here's information about how Google comes about.
Exactly,
There's no humor there. It's just pure
It's just journalism. It's just journalism on audio.
Yeah, and I think at some point, if you're not in the mood for something like that, it falls flat. Whereas if you're really into it, it uplifts you almost.
Right.
It could be motivating even if you're in that if you're in that space, you know what I mean? And Concrete Cowboy, I think, was that. And what I liked about it was how everybody was in it. It was in flux. Everything was changing. The kid, the mom, the dad, Idris Elba being the dad. The neighborhood was gentrifying. The horse was changing. Everything. His buddy was changing and had all these plans to go out west to buy a ranch until he gets killed, And I mean, overall, everybody had change happening. And, I don't know why, but we both felt really open to that idea, because there's so much change going on in the world right now with things and stuff. And I don't know, me and Clarissa really enjoyed it. I thought it was
okay.
Fantastic movie.
Awesome. So we will definitely put that on the watch list, but I think we'll probably do the Art High stuff first. I'm excited.
Yeah,
about
no, do that
stuff.
And then like I said, and then Anne can guest spot it, next week we could talk about that.
Well, I will say Anne did some programming for our family this week. As you know, we are doing DVD.com, and I think I'm going to cancel it next week, because next week is our last week of this first free month that Netflix gives you.
And you're running, what, about two movies a week?
Yeah. I actually threw one in the car, and I thought I had returned it, and then she had to take Bryce to the orthodontist, and she was like, I returned that movie that you left in the car. I was like, there was a movie in the car? How many days is the movie in the car? I like my value. I like to make sure that after we watch the movie, we get it in the box as quickly as possible.
It lands in your box. You watch it. As the mailman comes back around the block to Frank's house, you're handing it back to him.
No, okay. So I will say, so on Saturday, I went to return one of the movies because I said, if we're going to get a free month, I'm going to do the max two movies at a time, and I went to the UPS store, because during the week, the UPS store is probably the best bet because they scan it in right away, or they scan it right when they get it out of there or something like that.
Oh, okay.
But I went in at noon on Saturday.
Oh, so they scan it, and then once it's scanned, DVD sending you a new one.
Well, they're at least sending the information back to DVD.com. And they don't scan it right there when you do it, but they scan it when the USPS people pick it up, they scan that. So that's a sure scan, there. And the post office, the post office is a pain in the ass. So they were like, well, the people already came, so it's going to sit here until 3 o'clock on Monday afternoon, and it's Saturday. And I was like, well, let's see, I said, I'll give it a shot. I'll leave it here, And as I was turning to walk out the door, what walks by? The USPS guy, the post guy, the postman walks by, and he's dropping mail off at all the, the little strip mall over here. And I said, give me back the movie. I'm going to try to give it to this guy over here. So I gave it to him, and he got it scanned in right away. So it was faster like that. But anyway, so Anne did some programming. She saw a movie, and she knew that this yesterday, I don't know if you know, yesterday was Yom Hush. Oh, man, I messed this up again.
Yom Kippur.
No, it was Yom HaShoah.
Yom HaShoah?
Yom HaShoah is the Holocaust Remembrance Day.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So part of the programming for this week with our DVD.com was The Book Thief. Have you ever heard of The Book Thief?
I've heard of it. I heard the name. I don't know really anything about it.
It's a 2013 movie based on.
I thought you were
going to
tell me Schindler's List.
No.
That would be the obvious one, I guess.
That's too obvious.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. That's on the nose.
So we saw Jojo Rabbit last week, and that was the kids telling, mom that, Anne, she needed to see it, and Anne liked the movie, and we're all dying and crying and stuff. And because Black Widow dies in that movie too,
Scarlett Johansson's in it?
Yeah, Scarlett Johansson plays the mother in Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, I didn't know that.
In Jojo Rabbit. So in this movie, you have Jeffrey Rush in this 2013 movie, and it's just a beautifully done movie, a great book, and you know, Audrey and Bryce were just sobbing through the whole thing. I won't give it away, but basically Death plays the narrator and he kind of narrates through the whole thing. And it's a gripping, beautiful movie.
So when you talk, okay, in a different way, similar theme, would you say it's something like Life is Beautiful?
Yeah. I mean, it has that vibe to it. It has the World War II.
Who is that? Roberto Benigni or something?
Roberto Benigni. Yeah, when Jeffrey Rush first came out, I thought Roberto Benigni because of, you know, the crazy hair, the wild hair, and
right,
you know, and just the, you know, and it's just you know, it's important to take pause and to take stock in the idea of the temporal nature of life. And you know, death basically talks, you know, in the, what is it? The third person, first person, you know, he talks about himself and he talks about how, you know, humans haunt him and how he just randomly takes people. And it's really just the randomness of who death decides to pick off and when, you know?
Oh yeah. Wow.
And it's moving and the, you know, and Audrey was sobbing and Bryce was covering his face and, you know,
that sounds super heavy.
It's super heavy, but it was like heavy in the, you know, value what you have kind of way, you know, it's like,
and you're not like, and you're telling me you're not in the mood for Concrete Cowboy.
I know.
That was at least kind of uplifting there in a way, you know, it's like there was a good message. I mean, I don't know. I guess
this is a good message too.
Yeah. I was going to say, I didn't see it, so I don't know that, but
right. So I think it's a must watch for people. And it's an old one that I didn't think there was anything to it.
Year did it come out?
2013.
Oh, okay. So it's, yeah, 7-8 years.
Yeah.
Depending on when it came out and stuff.
Right. So, yeah. So that was that. We saw Hercules, the animated feature this week, which is another.
Is that a new one?
No, it's old. But The kids, you know, the kids just watch it during the week. They just put on something in the middle of the, you know.
Gotcha. Yeah. You know what the boys found this week?
What's that?
On Disney Plus, there's the Star Wars Legacy or whatever.
Oh, gosh. Those awful things. Oh my God. I watched one of them and I was like, what is this? What is this?
Dude, they love like the old Ewoks and all that stuff.
They love that. They love the Ewoks.
Dude, they're 6 and 8. I told them, I said, oh my God, you could have Saturday morning cartoons every day. Because that's where it's from, right? It's like Saturday morning cartoons from when we were. Well, maybe, I guess when we were kids, that was probably, that came out when we were older, I would say.
Right.
Probably the 90s. So yeah, I was an adult at that point, but they love it though. So they're watching them. They're watching the.
Is that the cartoons or the live action?
No, they're all cartoons.
Oh, watch the live action one. It is not.
This is a cartoon.
That's the one I was. This is the one I thought you found.
No,
there's some live action ones. Oh, and then there's another cartoon that's kind of done in a strange mid 80s cartoon fashion. That's like all about Chewbacca, like the good wing.
No, right now they're watching. Maybe it's the other version of the Clone Wars because there's like an older version of the Clone Wars.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they're watching that one and they're laughing and they're like, oh my God, look at how silly C-3PO looks. And they're like, because like everybody has like a certain look in the newer Clone Wars.
Yeah.
But this older Clone Wars, they have like a different look and they're just like laughing at how like archaic it is. And I'm just you guys get it. You know,
it's amazing.
So they found that. And then
it's called Star Wars Vintage.
Vintage, that's what it is. Yeah. And it was so funny too because they're like, we just turned on Disney Plus one day and I mean they immediately go, what's that? I said, I don't know, Star Wars Vintage. So I said, well, click on it. So they click on it, they're like, Ewoks, what's that? and they click on it, you know, and I'm just like, it's cartoons. And so they back out of it.
Right.
They click on other stuff. They were kind of like perusing it. And today right, right. I caught them, not caught them, but, you know, I saw that they were watching Clone War, like the old, the I don't know, the original Clone Wars, I guess. But uh-huh. yeah, Count Dooku and all this stuff. And
I just sent you the story of the faithful Wookiee.
Oh, God.
So you'll have to find that. It's a little 10-minute short about, you know, Chewbacca.
It just sounds terrible.
And yeah, when you click on it, you'll see this is similar to the art that you're talking about, the cartoon drawing.
It takes place right before the Wookiee Christmas.
Exactly.
Yeah, so the other thing, just to round out what we watched, so more Marvel, we did Captain Marvel. And my only complaint there is, you know, I've seen it before.
Was that the first time you saw it?
No, I've seen it before.
Okay.
My only complaint, though, is, and it was my complaint the last time, they just make her too powerful.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she could have probably taken out Thanos, no issue.
Agreed.
Yeah. Iron Man 2, like I said, with Mickey Rourke, by far the best Marvel movie that I think I've seen that they have.
Really?
Dude, me and Clarissa were rolling. It was so, like, his flamboyant billionaire playboy narcissism is so over the top.
When he flies in and he's like,
well, there's that. When he's in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, when he's reintroduced to the journalist and they said, oh yeah, she did a nice spread on you. And then he's like, yeah, and she did a nice write-up too. You know? And, I mean, he's such a jerk, you know? But he even disses Elon Musk. I mean, like, it was amazing. It was really, I really, the first time I saw it, I don't think I appreciated it to the extent.
Right.
Even the Mickey Rourke character, I didn't really like the first time I saw it.
Uh-huh.
And I really enjoyed the whole thing. Yeah, I just really enjoyed it. I don't know why, but it's got to be one of my favorite Marvel movies, Iron Man 2.
So my favorite thing about that movie is Mickey Rourke's scream, his agony or whatever yeah. it was. When he, whatever he's channeling to do that yell in the cave after his father died or whatever. It's just like, how does he get to the place where you can make noises like that?
I know. And his Russian accent and everything. I mean, it was, you know, but no, I really, and even Hammer, I just, he was such like a sleazy villain. You know, and just like a Weasley villain and stuff. I mean, I just thought the whole thing. And then, of course, you're introduced to Black Widow and a lot of Jon Favreau was in that one. And, you know, he gets in that fist fight, you know, and totally just going toe-to-toe for like 5 minutes with the same guy, you know, all the while Black Widow's just like kicking ass, you know. And I mean, it was just, I just really enjoyed Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
You know, it was what, so far that's, I'll go in order, and that's got that right now. That's the one that needs to be topped.
That is your leader.
Yeah. Your so leader something else now. Can top it. We'll see if Ant-Man can do it. You know, sometimes you watch them over and over and you see different things, you know what I mean?
Course,
and I could certainly say, yeah, different things. And it was just so funny too, because like both me and Clarissa had like these laugh out loud audible, just the way we exclaimed our enjoyment of it was just so funny. And we both found the same humor and everything. And,
oh, that's
and,
great.
Yeah. So it was, I really enjoyed it. So yeah, that's all we've been watching. But yeah, I'm looking forward to you guys. And this is a robbery. And I'm looking forward to Anne's insight, you know, our history 102.
And then one more thing, because you said Jon Favreau, reminded me that this week we watched Zathura. Have you seen Zathura?
I never heard of Zathura.
So Zathura is a thematic sequel to the original Jumanji.
Okay.
So it's a board game that the kids find in their basement. and then they pull it out. But instead of a jungle board game like Jumanji is, this is a space board game.
Is it Jumanji canon?
It's made by the same production company. I don't know about canon, but it is definitely in the line of it. You know, it's in the line of the original Jumanji. But it is directed by Jon Favreau.
Okay.
And I think it might be one of the reasons that Jon Favreau got the Iron Man movies.
Oh, wow.
Because when he was, you know, he was just, when he started out, he was, you know, directing Swingers
and stuff, right?
And doing all those, you know, buddy comedies to put his actor friends like Vince Vaughn, you know, to work. And you know, they all just wanted to work on their own stuff and doing like Goodfellas ripoffs.
Hey,
and
write what you know.
Write what you know, right?
That's it,
you know,
man.
Do the Vegas trip, you know, And then out of that,
Vegas baby,
out of that, he had this affinity for, it's not even an action, I guess it's just an adventure kind of thing. And I think what I heard from the stories back in the day was he pitched it as he wanted to do practical special effects. He wanted to do real special effects and put this house and these rooms on a gimbal,
okay,
inside a soundstage, and you know, basically build rooms in a, you know, on a pivoting, tilting, you know, spinning thing.
Oh, wow.
So that the actors could actually act with the, you know, floor falling out from under them and the houses getting toppled and tossed and turned as the space pirates come to take your energy away from your house, whatever. And because he had all these awesome practical effects, the people, you know, Feige and I guess back in the day was, who's the other guy? Some of the other early Marvel producers, they liked what they saw from him in his action here. So they knew that there was going to be a mix of special effects, you know, digital effects and practical effects. But his handling of the practical effects in Zathura, you know, kind of became his calling card of like, hey, I can handle practical effects and special effects in a blend, you know, that was great for the time. And then, you know, everybody says like, why do they use craftsmen in craftsman houses in movies and things like that? And I'm just like, it's timeless. You know what I mean? If you made this movie in the 80s and the 90s and used a contemporary house from the 80s and the 90s, it would be dated. It'd be a dated movie. But they use this beautiful Glendale craftsman house. And it could be any time. It could be, you know, from the 60s through the 2020, you know, and it's just, it's to use a craftsman, it's just the best house to go with, I think, when you're doing any kind of suburban or urban like movie that's meant to be timeless. So this has a timeless quality to it because it has the old classic board game and then it has the craftsman house. So I love it.
Well, very cool. We'll have to check that out. I mean, that sounds
the kids would love it. There's a little bit of a spider, there's a little bit of a lizard people, pirates, space pirates. So I don't know how, but it's made for kids, you know.
I'll search it and see where we can find it and stuff. I'm sure it's somewhere on.
I think we were streaming it. So I'm sure it's out there. Did you get HBO Max or not yet?
No, not yet. We were watching all this other stuff. And
okay,
before we pile on more, I got to get through like the backlog. Although I guess there's always a backlog, right?
Always a backlog.
Yeah, the one thing I like, we were talking about Roku last week. The one thing I like is the Roku search feature.
Oh, okay.
You just type in your movie and it pretty much tells you like everywhere you could get it. It tells you if it's a rental and it tells you if it requires a subscription. So it might say like, let's just say Netflix, I don't know, or Hulu. Here it is on Hulu. You're already subscribed. Go watch. Or here it is on HBO Max, requires a subscription, or Stars, or, you know, whatever, Amazon Prime.
Right, right.
So it pretty much has like every streaming database on the planet.
That's awesome.
That it serves up to you. And it also, and if it's on like 20 streaming services, it just serves them all up and says, and you just scroll through and pick the one that you have, mm-hmm, and you just watch it, you know? Like, so I'm sure we'll be able to find it.
Yeah, we found it pretty easy, so I'm pretty sure you have it.
Yeah, very cool. I'm looking forward to that. And what year did that come out? Any idea?
Oh, no idea. No idea whatsoever.
That's all right. You don't have to look it up. But all right, man. Anything else you watch, or was that about it?
I think that's about it. You know, I'm still watching my Airtable videos on how to.
Oh, God, this guy. Talk about dry. Holy cow.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. How'd your beer finish?
Oh, my beer finished great. Well, it's not done. It was a big one.
Oh, you still have a lot left in there. Yeah, I kind of do too.
How many ounces is this?
I would say that's what, a pint and a half.
Where is it? What was yours? Yours was small.
Yeah, mine, the warmer it gets, the more coffee it tastes. It's less iced coffee and turning more into just like a smoother palate. Like it doesn't have that that bitterness, I guess, that it initially had when it was really cold.
Okay. So the bitterness mellowed.
Yeah, the warmer it got, the more mellow the bitterness. When it was really cold, it was almost like too bitter.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it turned out great. You know, I still have probably another few sips here. I would buy this again. Good. I mean, and what I like though is at 5.8% ABV, you can enjoy it and not get like thrashed.
Right.
You know, like your 10%er. Or what did you have the one day 17%?
Yeah, the 17%. Yeah, I was hurting there.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, this is 1 pint and 0.9 ounces.
Okay, so yeah.
It's very specific.
Very cool. So, and that turned out
Out mellow. It same thing. It lost some of that alcohol bite. Might have evaporated a little bit, but it maintained its flavor profile. So it's awesome.
So jealous. I love it. All right, Ted. We'll talk, man.
All right. Have a good night.
I had a great week.
Always.
All right. Later.
All right. Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.